demonstrate here what it even is we're talking about doing. Let's go to clip number 19 here. This is a video out of Brooklyn, New York. Clip 19, Brooklyn, New York. Sort of ask people what they think about what's going on in Iran. Let's watch, shall we?
Me and Madam Coffee.
That's weird. No, wait, why are they talking in Farsi? I mean, look, this looks an awful lot like somewhere in New York, right? Sorry, no, this is Tehran, Iran, actually. Actually, what you're looking at is the horrible terrorist in Tehran. Oh, my God, look at these Muslim extremists with her pink hair. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, these are the radical, mullah operatives. Well, your hair is not even covered. Look at this character. Clearly a dedicated, diehard Muslim extremist, I'm sure. Anyway, again. They literally look, I mean, it's less oppressive than Saudi Arabia, that's for damn sure. You don't see women walking around like this in Saudi Arabia. So these are the people that I guess we're going to vaporize. These are the radical terrorists that we're told we have to hate. We don't want to kill all of them. I don't know. It looks nicer than the videos I see of Israel. That's for damn sure. Israel, you see nothing but religious extremists wearing those weird black garb. Not in Iran. Iran seems very sort of liberal. No, they're doing a road trip. Isn't that fun? Well, Trump's going to kill all of them, I guess. Great. Is this making sense? Let's go to clip 22 here. This is a female musician in Iran being asked why she isn't running away since Trump is threatening to kill everybody. Let's watch. The enemy has given a 48-hour ultimatum and final attack. Have you heard that? She says, yeah. So why are you walking so relaxed in Tehran's Fardo Garden right now? She says, it's okay. We're going to continue to live. I'm a musician. It's better to be at home to play an instrument, and if I leave here, I'll get into trouble. I'd rather stay home and continue my work with the sound of bombs. You're not afraid because are you sure the enemy will not bomb residential areas? It's like, no, not at all. Many residential areas have been bombed. A Red Crescent was bombed on our street. You know, the equivalent of the Red Cross. I belong to my homeland, and I don't like my home to be attacked when I'm not home. If my house is going to be bombed, I would rather be martyred. I'd rather not leave my homeland. They're animals. They all deserve to die. They're all animals. They're sick, terrorist animals. And we're going to free them from their lives for the sake of glorious Israel. Meanwhile, every video I see of Israel is some ultra-religious dude kicking a cat or throwing a dog in a fire. And he's spitting on Christians. A bunch of little radicalized terrorist children spitting on Christians because they have crosses out. Like you walk around Tehran. Yeah, it looks nice. Looks fine. Yeah, we're on the wrong side here. We're on the wrong side of this conflict. And it's un-American to say otherwise. If you want to destroy these people, you're un-American.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats, that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. So there's a couple things that I think, like, taken all together inform, you know, the view I have as to this war and everything. The first is the understanding that the Israelis are the bad guys, no uncertain terms, in every possible way you can imagine. They are the religious extremists. They're anything you accuse Iran of doing, Israel does to an even greater degree. Okay, so they're the bad guys. All right. They also, of course, are responsible for a lot of what has gone wrong in this country. Hell, I think you could put probably a majority. Oh, there's a possible deal tonight. Good news expected. Oh, well, wonderful. Can't wait to see that. Trump on Pakistan's two-week deadline extension request. I've not been fully briefed, but I can say this. I know him very well. He's a highly respected man all over. Then Secretary Leavitt said the president has been made aware of the proposal and a response will come. Okay. So Trump's going to say he's extending the deadline 2 weeks. Sounds like that's what's going to happen. But not from Iran. But the request is not from Iran. It was from the Pakistan prime minister. Pakistan has nukes, you know. Hey, Pakistan, you should nuke Israel. Somebody tell Pakistan I said that. Again, this might seem extreme. It's not. It's not extreme. Look at what Israel has done to Gaza. That is extreme. Look at what Israel is doing as we speak to Palestinians. That is extreme, in the same way that the Nazis were extreme when they decided that an entire race of people should be given the death penalty. That's what Israel's doing to the Palestinians as we speak. And this is like part of the reason why I'm just like, I gotta up the rhetoric a little bit, deliberately up the rhetoric. Not in a way that's yeah, 2 weeks. Oh, another 2 weeks. Not in a way that's dishonest or deceptive, but just because it's like people are so blind to like what their side is saying. I almost just have to be like, all right, then I guess I'll be the same way in the opposite direction. I'm not the one calling for an entire civilization to be ended in a single day by incinerating them all. That's crazy. That's the president of the United States and his actual policy. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I say Israel must be destroyed. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's like, no, y'all, we are actively about to destroy Iran. That's what you should be upset about. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. And Israel does deserve to be destroyed. It's the humanitarian thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. It's the best possible thing to do. U.S.-Israel bomb Iran's largest aluminum producer. Oh, good. Oh, great. Well, great. I'm sure that'll end the war, I bet. I don't know. I got to open up the phone lines for your calls because, especially if you disagree with me, I got to know what's wrong with you. I've got to know what have they done to you that's made you this way to believe that the way that Trump is acting or Israel is acting it really is our fault. We're just letting this happen. It's so pathetic. This is what Israel's doing. Clip number 9 here. This is what they're doing in Lebanon. Lebanon, of all places. Let's watch. There you go. Just eradicating a village. Again, why? Because Hezbollah didn't let Israel invade and destroy them already. Just again, civilian infrastructure. They're just eradicating a tenth of the Lebanese to make room for themselves. And we've got clip number one here, Ben-Gvir, the national security minister, talking about just gleefully expressing bloodlust. It's crazy. Let's watch. They published a statement. Hamas published a statement saying the death penalty for terrorists is bad. Do you hear that? Hamas, which murdered our children, which massacred our women, which raped them, and the death penalty law for terrorists is immoral. So I say to them, this is the most moral law there is. And it's a law that must exist because it's for the sake of all of our children. And we must pass it, and we will execute them. With God's help, they told me the High Court will block it. The High Court will block it. First of all, I saw that in the prisons. They said the High Court would block it. I managed to make the change. I saw with the arming policy, they told me the High Court would block it. I managed to make the change. I want to tell you one more thing. The High Court needs to correct the law. Correct the High Court, not the law. This law is the right law. And the sentence will be passed under this law. And the punishment, make no mistake. And I say this as somebody who took them from their roll calls, their canteens, their food, their patrols, their yard walks, their studies, their amenities. As somebody who took everything from them, I also want to take their lives. It is right, it is just, it is true, and that is what will happen. Like, y'all, if I ever say anything one-tenth as insane, as bloodthirsty, as despicable as that disgusting terrorist scum just said, shoot me in the head, okay? So again, this is like why it's like that guy's a literal terrorist, right? His history, he was like actually an actual terrorist. Just like all of the leaders of Israel have always been literal terrorists. Let me say that again. All of the leaders of Israel have all been literal terrorists from the beginning. And not like, oh, they do things I don't like. Like, no, they invented terrorism. They invented the strategy of bombing civilians to try to get political pressure. And they did it. Who'd they do it to? Why did they start doing terrorism? It's a very important story to know right now. Who'd they start doing terrorism to? What civilians and what allies did they start bombing? And why did they do it? The answer is they started bombing the British. Why did they do it? Because Britain helped them. Because Britain went to war for them. Because Britain sacrificed their own men and their own victory in World War I to serve the Jews, to create a Jewish homeland. And as soon as they got that homeland, what did they do? Invented terrorism and bombed the hell out of the British to drive them out. So again, it's like if you know history and you see America doing exactly what Britain did, you don't think it's going to go exactly the same way it went with Britain? These people are psychotic. They're murderers. They're monsters. And everything they say is a projection. He wants to talk about October 7th. Oh, they killed our children, killed our women. October 7th was a setup. You all let it happen on purpose. Benjamin Netanyahu, in his own words, admitted to funding Hamas to the tune of $35 million a month for years on end. Did the stand down order before the invasion started on October 7th. Did another stand down order to keep the response from happening for 6 hours after it started. They deliberately moved the music festival. And like, again, like all this stuff, if you really think about it, it's impossible to come to a different conclusion. Do you know what the music festival was? Nova Music Festival. Do you remember why they were having the music festival? It was ostensibly in support of the Gazans. It was a like liberal Israeli you know, we don't want to be at war with the Gazans event. Now, I don't exactly understand the method or motive there, because they didn't actually invite anybody from Gaza to be there. They didn't actually have any way to tangibly help Gaza. They were actually just having a drug-fueled orgy on the edge of Gaza, overlooking the open-air prison full of suffering, having a big party saying, this is for you. So, I mean, I don't really get what the purpose of it was, but do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that the hardline conservative Israelis who were setting up October 7th so that they could commit a genocide against the women and children of Gaza deliberately forced the liberal Israelis to have a music festival right where they knew Hamas was going to attack? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what happened here? That this is the way these people think? They know the Hamas attack is coming. They were told by Egypt. They had the stand down order to allow it to happen. And 2 days before, they just so happened to move the quote unquote Peace for Gaza music festival to the exact area they knew Hamas would be attacking. Do you think that was an accident? Do you really think that was an accident? Or do you think that was a lesson being taught by the Israeli leadership? Oh, you want peace with Gaza, do you? Oh, you think we should be nice to the Palestinians, do you? You idiots. Guess what? They're all going to kill you because we're going to set it up. That'll prove you wrong. You don't think that's what they did? You don't think that's was part of their thinking? I think that's exactly what they did. I think they felt that all these Israelis who didn't want war with Gaza needed to be taught a lesson. So they put the music festival right in the path of the attack, allowed the attack to go on, allowed the festival goers to be raped or killed or murdered, and then burned them all to death with the attack helicopters anyway in the Hannibal Directive. And then used their death to cry crocodile tears and say, they killed our children and women. I'm not mocking the death of the children and women. These people are evil. They set it up, and then they will pretend to be sad about it to justify the extensive years-long murder campaign that they've been planning for decades. You understand who we're dealing with? They want to talk about, Hamas rapes our people. You literally just had a gigantic case where Palestinian prisoners were being systematically raped by their guards to the point that they needed surgery. And when this was discovered, the person that discovered and exposed it herself was harassed into suicide. That's the thing, like, I can talk about all this other stuff. I feel like I just need to just, like, I could spend all day just sort of going through all of the evil that Israel has done in the last 3 years. You want to take it back 50 years? It's always been like this. There's never been a time where Israel was not a murderous, terroristic, psychotic state of pedophiles. This is what it's for. It's why it was created by the Rothschilds. How the Rothschilds get it? The Balfour Declaration. By using their control over the American media system to influence America into World War I in exchange for England, for Britain, securing Palestine for them. And the way they secured Palestine for them was drawing British soldiers off the front line in France to take over, you know, Ottoman holdings in the Middle East and create the mandate system. Meaning that, you know, that was like a crucial part of World War I. It was like the big death machine part. Like, they really could have used the British soldiers on the line, but they had more important concerns. Pull them off the line, sure. Bunch of French people die. Bunch of, you know, advancements get made by the Germans. They do really well, and it goes terribly. But in exchange, you get America to enter the war, and all of this is being orchestrated by the Rothschilds and their agents in America. The proto-Jeffrey Epsteins, whoever was Jeffrey Epstein before him. I mean, again, it just goes on and on, but it's like, these are the bad guys, which means we're the bad guys. We're the bad guys in this situation. I don't know what else to tell you. Ben Gavir sitting there going, these prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, some of whom are children, none of whom have been given an adequate trial. I mean, it just feels like ridiculous even trying to like explain this, because it's not like they're hiding it. He just sits there and is like, yeah, I took away everything from them. He's like, we have these prisoners, and basically we give them bare minimum sustenance just to keep them alive, and that's basically too much. He's like, I took away their right to go outside. I took away their right to move. I took away their right to eat enough food or to read. So right now, you've got, God only knows, tens of thousands of Palestinian prisoners who are just being treated like worse than dogs, like just brutalized beyond description. And Ben-Gavir is literally just like giddy at the fact that he's going to get to personally strangle them all to death. And this is who we're fighting for. We have to defeat them. We have to defeat them. And Trump is on their team and is doing everything for them. And could have literally been just like the greatest hero the world has ever seen. He was in a position where he, perhaps alone amongst any body ever, had the ability, the power, the influence, the popularity, the untouchable love of the American people. He could have been the one to do it. And hell, even if they gave him a bunch of money, like this, again, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And this is the thing about trying to like rationalize this. Trump is being set up to be the fall guy for all of this. So even the arguments about like, well, he's benefiting from it, he's in on it, you know, really, he's the one doing this. It's like they're going to throw him in prison for the rest of his life. He has to realize that. If Trump was really the person that we thought he was, he would have taken Miriam Adelson's $200 million. And the instant that he took the oath of office, he would have cast her to the side, said, screw you, Miriam. Thanks for getting me here. I'm here for America now. And we would have literally built golden statues of him in every town square. If he had actually used his incredible power and popularity we probably would have made him emperor. The left and the right would have been thrilled, because the left hates Israel so much and the right wing just wants basic national competence. And this is what I mean when I started this segment and said, you know, it's the combination. It's how utterly, unrepentantly, openly, aggressively evil Israel is. How everything I've seen out of Iran has made me think that they are reasonable and intelligent and thoughtful and not trying to kill everybody all the time like Israel is. But it's all of that in context of America collapsing just as rapidly as we ever were before, maybe even more so with Trump. And I've got like a lot of videos that all tie directly into this. Clip number 17. Let's just go through these real quick. We won't watch the whole thing. I'll just tell you what they are so you can understand what I'm talking about. Clip number 17. Let's go to that. This is a like 80-year-old man who's still having to deliver dominoes because he's got like a medical condition. Why is a single American over the age of 60 having to work? We're the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We've got $1.5 trillion to spend in war overseas. But our citizens, many cases our veterans, put their lives on the line for our country, are having to work utterly pathetic minimum wage jobs in their old age just to keep the lights on, because they have nothing, because everything has been stolen from them. Let's go to clip number 15 or 14. This is the New York City chief equity officer who's literally describing a program to steal from white people and give to non-white people, just deliberately breaking every civil rights law, and it just doesn't matter because white people are under absolute attack from every different angle, and it's endless, and again, unrepentant, directed, obviously orchestrated, a deliberate attack against us. I go on and on. The giant prison planet infrastructure, server farms that they're building. Absolutely outrageous. We can go to clip 35 here. Governor Greg Abbott telling Indians, I guess, that their manifest destiny is to take over Texas. Texas will be a land for the Indian community, he says, forever. Meanwhile, the Indian population in places like Irvine and little towns outside of Dallas have gone from 2% to 20% in 15 years. And there are literally entire swaths of Texas that are utterly unrecognizable. Out of all of the people under 18 in Texas, white people are 20%. They're 95% in the 70s. Genocide. We're being genocided in our state. We're being taken over. We're being invaded and destroyed. So it's like our people don't have anything. People who have lived their lives as dutiful, you know, God-fearing, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens have absolutely nothing and are having to work until the day they die just so they don't starve. Meanwhile, a bunch of Indian scam artists are living in million-dollar houses built specifically for them with taxpayer money, and they're given taxpayer funds to start their businesses that are frequented, and all of their customers are likewise foreigners using taxpayer money. Our bridges aren't being repaired. It takes 4 hours to get through security at the airport. We're not safe. We're not prosperous. We're not happy. We're not learning anything. Our kids are all retarded. There's poison in the food and water. None of this is being even addressed, let alone solved. And we're going to war overseas. So it's both of these things. And it's deliberate. And we have to stop taking it. And that's the only solution. Begging these people, you know, you might as well hold hands and sing Kumbaya around a Iranian power plant, because they'll just kill you. They don't give a damn. Do we need to hear from Ben-Gavir again? Do we need to know what he thinks about you? Because you're a Palestinian in his eyes. You understand that? What is the difference? There's not one. There's two classes of people to these scumbag supremacists. Jews and everybody else. You're everybody else. I'm everybody else. When they talk about Palestinians, understand they're talking about you, talking about Europeans. Sometimes they just straight up say it about Europeans. And this is who we're sacrificing our empire for? This is who we're allowing to destroy our empire so they can build theirs? I think they should be destroyed. I think they all need to be destroyed, and I think their ideology needs to be destroyed, like the Nazis were.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancer is from parasites. It's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, I'll show some of these videos now. Just so we can remind ourselves of how it's going here in America. These are all from today, right? I didn't go back through and find all the videos I could. Every day it's like this. Every day there's an outpouring of the evidence of America suffering, collapsing, failing in every possible way, while nothing is done to help any of us, as we're exploited endlessly, and we work half of our lives to pay for everybody else. Absolutely everybody else. Let's go first to clip number 12 here. This is in New Jersey, the Monroe Township. Keep the audio down. Pull it up. The audio is a little rough. So, no, we'll listen to the audio. I just fair warning. It's don't boost it up totally loud. Monroe Township, New Jersey, in March at a council meeting. This woman from Monroe didn't come to play. She stood up and delivered a straight up verbal masterclass to the council. This, of course, is about the data centers, and everywhere in America that these data centers are being built, the people are rebelling and demanding that they not be built, and being completely and utterly ignored by their local government. Which, again, like this is why I'm like actually kind of black-pilled at this point, is we don't even have town councils that are not corrupt. It's down to the granular level. This is the ultimate consequence of decade upon decade of the slow erosion of the American spirit, you know, civic participation. It's a direct consequence of diversity. Done all the studies. As diversity increases, commensurate with that, in perfect time with that, corruption increases, lack of charity decreases, civic participation decreases. America is being torn apart by the seams, at the seams, and we don't even have local leaders that will stand up for their immediate neighbors. So it's like, you know, this is the thing. It's like, what do you do? Or like, look at all the options available, and it's like, well, you'd vote for the other party. All right, they're both obviously under the yoke of Israel and refuse to do anything. It's like Republicans will pass amnesty, Democrats will pass amnesty. It doesn't matter. That's not an option. But what if you do like secession? What if Texas seceded from the Union with what Greg Abbott and his 10 billion strong from Hyperadad or whatever the hell that city's called? You're gonna rebel at the low. You're trying to try to get the local government to do something. They're on the payroll too, apparently. Who knew? Who knew that the corruption had filtered all the way down to Monroe Township in New Jersey? But here it is. Let's watch.
Avner, just in case anyone wants to know, they seem to think it's important that we all tell everybody where we live. I haven't heard any of you say that before you spoke. It seems that that this is a pattern that I'm picking up here. This is the first town meeting I've ever been to, so this is all new for me and very disappointing. I voted in the elections that put all of you here. So did all these people. I heard someone back there, I don't know who it was, say that you are elected officials, not leaders. Very good point, whoever it was. Beautiful. That is the truth. Okay? No one went to your doors, knocked on them, and said, please run for office. Please. No. You all volunteered. And yet I see an entire panel up here. Especially you, sir. The mayor of all people should set a precedent for everyone else on this council. You very rarely even look at people in the eye. Okay? The entire time you're looking down, you said you're taking notes. Someone made a very good point. This is all being recorded. See?
And there's transcribers.
You could go back, and there's transcribers, exactly. You could go back, look at the notes, go over it later. Trust me, you're still getting paid. It's coming out of our taxes. Okay? You can go home. Put in some extra time. I am so sorry that this entire time I see boredom, irritation. That we're all bothering you with this concern about our health, our homes, our children, our property values, if all you can think of is financial reasons. How about our property values? No one said a goddamn thing about that. No one said once how our property values are going to bottom out. Okay? No matter how many standards you have, sir.
Yes.
Okay? Apparently they're not high enough for us. Because our standard is, and I think that you guys have figured this out, and if we haven't made it abundantly clear, we do not want a warehouse. We do not want an AI data center. We don't want any of it. And the reason nobody showed up before like this to complain is because we didn't know. You know, the double standard, okay, is ridiculous. Don't look away. We voted you in, sir. Look, I'll be as respectful as you are to me. Honestly. You're the mayor, and I know you feel as though right now that we should treat you as such, as your office, but you are not treating us the same way. Respect is earned. You don't just get it. You don't just get it because you tricked us into electing you.
Okay, so can't even get respect from your literal neighbors who have like the most lame job ever. They're just supposed to be functionaries, bureaucrats, keeping the lights on and the school cafeteria funded, and they used it as an excuse to sell out their own town from under them. It's just like, I guess we deserve it. I mean, honestly, maybe we just deserve it. That had to do with data centers. Of course, you ask why the data centers are coming. We can go to clip 27 here. This is billionaire Ray Dalio. He just confirmed what many have feared, but is not unexpected, because people in power have been telling us this was their plan the entire time. This is the real purpose of the data centers being created. They are not going to help you. You can't even make an argument that they would help you. This is the infrastructure for the prison planet global government. Digital panopticon, constant surveillance, beast system. Let's go to clip 27 now.
Right.
What happens if the government issues digital currency? Like, what does that mean?
Well, digital currency is, right, you're talking about central bank digital currencies.
Yeah.
Okay, and that. There's a great deal of appeal because of the fact that it's easy and so on. But it's, and I think it'll be done. A lot happens.
You think it will be done?
Yeah. I think it's, but what happens in the digital currency, of course, it's easy to transact and so on, and it'll be like money market funds, I think. The question will be first, will they be able to offer interest? So there's a debate now as to whether they will be interest. If they're not able to offer interest, and there will be a debate, probably they won't be. But then they're not an effective vehicle to hold it in, because you'll have the depreciation.
Of course.
You'd rather hold it in a money market fund or a bond, but that's debate. There will be no privacy, and it's a very effective controlling mechanism by the government. What I mean is all the transactions will be known. All transactions done with digital currencies will be known, which is good for illegal activities, getting control of illegal activities. But it also means that the government has a great deal of control. For example, they can tax that way. They can take your money. They can establish foreign exchange controls and the like. And that'll so that's something that will be an increasing issue, particularly for international holders of that currency, because they might feel, let's say if you're a Frenchman and they wanted to have sanctions, they could take your money.
Of course.
You know, and so on. So there's the privacy issue of that.
And if you're politically disfavored, you could be shut off.
Politically disfavored, you could be shut off. Yes. So those kinds of.
Those kinds of control mechanisms are being implemented right now. All right, so that's what we're getting. That's where our money and investment is going towards, not schools or hospitals or roads, but building gigantic data centers that nobody actually wants, whose entire purpose is our enslavement. Plenty of money for that. Unlimited money and energy for that. But you're still going to be, you know, going bankrupt because of the energy prices. That's what's happening with us. In New York City, of course, the chief equity officer, a position that shouldn't exist, is here giving a speech surrounded by a bunch of non-white people. As far as I can tell, I don't think there's a single white person in this. So what you have is a coalition of non-white people who've all gotten together and decided that the best thing to do is to directly tax and discriminate against and disadvantage white people. In New York City. Let's go to clip number 15 now.
This plan was born during a defining moment in our city's history, when New Yorkers were in the streets in the midst of a global pandemic, calling for justice, demanding accountability, and bearing witness to brutality unfolding on our streets and on our screens. In that moment, our city was asked to reckon with the deep systemic inequities that have long shaped life here and to do better. New Yorkers across all five boroughs answered that call. Their voices, their advocacy, and their persistence are what brought us to this moment. The release of the preliminary citywide racial equity plan is a reflection of that collective mandate. It is not just a document, it is a commitment to confront institutional and systemic racism within our city and to begin the work of dismantling it.
Ah, yes. Alpha Atamensa, the New York City chief equity officer, is finally, you know, coming to terms with the racism of New York City. New York City, long recognized as a beacon of white supremacy, white exclusion. What the hell are you talking about, lady? Again, it's not that complicated. This is just what's happening to America. Trump's best friend, by the way, Ma'am Donnie. Great guy. Loves everything he's doing. Of course, if you, you know, vaguely criticize the state of Israel, you're anti-Semitic and the federal government will come down on you like a ton of bricks. But openly say you have a plan to actively and deliberately discriminate against white people. And that's just progress. It's just making great progress towards something, I imagine. Okay, so I guess non-white people just aren't getting enough. Those damn white people in New York City, all 5% of them, the 5% of the population is causing all the problems. Of course, there's like been all these charts recently where it's like there were 300 shootings in Manhattan, not one of them involved a white person. It's fine. It's not like that's costing the city money or anything. But then you look at where the money's actually going. So if you take the amount that white people receive as, you know, being one, and you look at where the money goes, New York City public school spending per $1 of all taxes paid, federal, New York State, New York City, plus payroll, plus sales tax, plus property tax. And if you take the amount that white people receive as one, Asian people receive 3.8 times as much money. Black people receive 4.9 times as much money. Hispanics receive 11.2 times as much taxpayer-funded benefits as white people. You take it to just the straight-up normal benefits, not, you know, the school, but just straight-up welfare stuff. Take white people again as the standard 1X. Asians receive 7.5 times as much welfare. Blacks receive 61 times as much government benefits from whites than whites do, and from whites, obviously, since whites are the majority taxpayers. And Hispanics enjoy 67 times as much money in federal benefits. For every $1 that a white person receives, black people receive 61 and Hispanic people receive 67. And that apparently is not enough. This is what it already is. This is before the racial equity program. Already, the entire government of New York is basically set up to take money from white people and give it to non-white people. That is the function of the government. And it's not enough, and they need more. And white people are still alive, so they haven't been exploited enough quite yet. Okay, so small towns, they're selling out their neighbors to build data centers so they can enslave us in the big cities. They're taking the already ridiculous practice of the government of taking all of white people's money and giving it to non-white people because of the fact that they're white and they're non-white. It's not helping us at all. Meanwhile, another big city, we can go to clip 16 here. This is a street takeover in Chicago. And the Chicago government, we can go and roll this as B-roll, is what's happening just on the streets on a random weekday night in Chicago. Total takeover, lawlessness. And the Chicago government has said, look, we don't have the police resources to deal with this. They've literally come out and said, hey, if a bunch of, you know, random teens want to, you know, stop an intersection and start doing donuts and beating anybody up who tries to stop them, that they're just allowed to do it. We do not have the police. We do not have the resources. We have spent billions of dollars bringing these people into our country, giving them a place to stay, paying for their food and bedding and maid services. But we do not have money to establish basic law and order. That doesn't exist. Now, the mayor of Chicago has a personal bodyguard of 150 officers. Let me say that again. Chicago mayor has a personal bodyguard of 150 Chicago police people. But they do not have enough resources to stop the random takeover of streets. Okay. Do we understand? Are we starting to put it all together now? We can go to clip 17 here. This is the video I showed you earlier, but we can listen to it this time. This is the Domino's delivery driver. People found out it went viral because he had gone out of his way to get his customer a Diet Coke because he realized that Domino's was out and it's just that dedicated to his job. And people were basically outraged at the fact that this man who should be enjoying his retirement is instead having to work a physically demanding and extremely low paid job because he can't afford health care without it. Okay, so let's go to clip 17 now.
The voicemail just popped up. I didn't see a phone call. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay,
sorry
because,
we had
a Diet Coke.
Oh, okay.
I stopped at the store though. So.
Oh, you did not have to do that.
No, that's okay.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh man, hold on now. Do you have a way I can add more to your tip? Because you deserve more than that. I don't have any cash on me, is my problem.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. $6.60, that's a good tip.
No.
The store's right next door, you know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, that's okay.
If I call into the store, can they take more on that tip? I wish I had cash for you.
Oh, you don't need to.
Oh.
That's a good tip.
All right.
Mine's Dan.
Dan, I'm Brian. I appreciate you. You're at this store up on Maple Grove?
Yeah. Tell him that Dan. He's a great driver.
I'm going to, Dan. I appreciate you very much.
14 years I've worked there. I'm retiring in 26 days.
And I've always tried to work hard and go the extra mile on stuff. And I guess maybe I'm getting rewarded for that. I don't know. I don't think I work any harder than anyone else. But, you know, I've always tried to be a pretty nice guy and help people out when they're... Because I know what it's like to be down and out. So when I see people that are kind of hurting, I try to help them. It's all just, I just can't believe it. Knowing that I work at the seed lab, there's about six of us working at the seed lab, and they're all flabbergasted. They tell me all these stories. They tell me about this guy that was riding a skateboard with an ocean spray. And Ocean Spray got to TikTok, and they got a hold of it, and they bought him a new car and everything. So I got to thinking, maybe I should have someone call, like, the Corvette place and say, hey, wouldn't Dan look great delivering a pizza in one of your Corvettes? Huh? That's not a bad idea, is it? Right,
so ooh, that's the type of guy that's being, really you know, just literally exploited to the maximum degree. Just a nice, happy dude. Just like, I just try to help out people who are down and out. I know how it's been like that. And so, like, you got to realize, like, the people that run our country literally just, like, hate that guy and are just like, I don't know. I mean, in any sort of fair world, it'd be this guy who's living in a lake house, you know, having a great time while Mark Levin is having to work his fingers to the bone as an old man. Or the Somalis that came over here taking up the low-paying job. Really, it should be high schoolers doing this, but... The purpose of our system is to take men like that, men like Dan, utilize them, use them to the maximum degree, exploit them to the maximum degree, keep them working constantly for the benefit of everybody else. This is why this is all so pathetic. Let's go to clip number 26 here. See how else things are going around America. Let's watch.
Major demographic shift is underway in our country. A new study from the Zucker School of Medicine finds that for the first time, minority births now make up the majority nationwide. Researchers analyzed more than 33 million births over the past 8 years. Eyewitness News anchor Sandra Bookman has a story.
White births in the U.S. have fallen below 50% for the first time ever. That's among the findings in a new study published today by professors from the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. One of those researchers, Dr. Amos Grunebaum, calls it a historic milestone.
Oh, I bet it is a historic milestone. We need that. We need the Kanye clip. Give me the Kanye clip where he's outside in the car. All right, so we're being genocided in our own country while, you know, old white men are having to work until they die. Did you know 10%, 9% I think actually, 9% of every birth in America last year was a foreigner giving birth to an anchor baby? Let's go to clip number 23 here. This is Tyler Oliveira talking about what has been done to Texas over the last 20 years. Let's watch.
I came here on H-1B 2004. Everybody was Americans. But fast forward, now you don't see any Americans.
This is Frisco, Texas. A once quiet farm town turned home to one of the largest and fastest growing Indian communities in America. As the Indian population exploded from less than 2% to almost 20% Indian in the last 20 years, many Texans are outraged, declaring there has been an Indian invasion. I pulled up to the Frisco Town Hall meeting to witness the clash of heritage Texans and their new Indian neighbor.
Where are you from?
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad.
I'm from India.
From India.
Where in India? Hyderabad?
Why do you think Frisco became such a big hub for Indians?
They have their own community here.
No, it's not like that.
Not like that here in Frisco?
No.
Motherland India or Texas, USA?
Oh, obviously, Motherland India.
Obviously, Motherland India. I mean, of course.
Really? Did you come here on H-1B?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they did. All right, we can go ahead and take it down. But again, just not even pretending to like be Americans. They're straight up just like, oh yeah, we're just like colonizing America. That's it. This is where our money's going. This is where our taxpayer dollars are going. So this is really the ultimate frustration, is that it's innumerable. It's uncountable. You can't even keep track of all of the numbers of ways that Americans are being relentlessly exploited, destroyed, torn down, our way of life completely abolished, while we are doing absolutely everything for everybody else. First and foremost for Israel, who, by the way, is behind a lot of the stuff that we just talked about today, including HIAS, H-I-A-S, the Hebrew Immigration Whatever Society, who is like directly being implicated in like major murder investigations because they're the ones who brought in all of the immigrants and then used taxpayer dollars to pay for their training.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.